Welcome to another edition of the EA-HCP Steward Podcast. Today's discussion is with Dr. Weston Nallen of Texas State. He and his team are studying the tiny endangered riffle beetle. Here is Dr. Nallen. So Dr. Nallen, you guys have been studying the Comal Springs riffle beetle over the last several months, and I understand the research is supposed to go on for a few years. So give us a little bit of background on, you know, why this research is happening and what you're finding.
Sure. The Comal Springs riffle beetle is a very small insect. It's a beetle, and it's an aquatic beetle. And so its adult and larval life stage is in the water, and it's only found in Comal Springs and around spring openings. The reason why it's so important is because the Habitat Conservation Plan has identified it as one of the species they need to consider when determining aquifer levels and flows out of the aquifer. So whenever they were trying to basically come up with some rationale or some way to accommodate all the different species that are listed under the HCP, they realized they didn't know a whole lot about the Comal Springs riffle beetle. And so then that led us down this path to then look at a variety of different characteristics of the riffle beetle, a lot of different ecology and life history characteristics in particular.
And this beetle is only found here in this location in the world, right?
That's it. The Comal Springs riffle beetle, its name is Heterelmus comalensis. Heterelmus is the genus. There are a variety of different species inside that genus, but comalensis, as the name implies, is only found in Comal Springs.
So these little critters are so small. How in the world do you, first of all, find them, and then how do you collect them to bring them into the lab?
Yeah, that's a great question. It does present a challenge. They are really small. We're talking about something. The adults are really about the size of a strawberry seed, and the larvae are about the same size. So whenever you have to go collect them, you can do it a couple different ways. First is you can collect them by hand. Their densities are not that great, so that means you're basically looking for little things all day long. You're not going to get that many. The best way we found to collect them is actually to put out lures made of cotton and polyester, and those lures grow little microbial communities on them. The beetles seem to like to eat that stuff, and that seems to attract them.
Can you tell us what you've learned so far about these creatures?
Yeah, so the research we've been doing really is focused in sort of three main areas. One is to look at sort of their environmental tolerances, and the two big things we were most concerned about were temperature and dissolved oxygen concentrations. And so we've done a series of experiments looking at what their temperature tolerances are, and we found out that these riffle beetles typically can tolerate pretty sharp increases, short-term increases in higher temperatures, but when temperatures get above about 26 or 27 degrees C, they don't do well at all. They basically start experiencing pretty significant mortality. Dissolved oxygen concentrations are pretty similar in the sense that they can tolerate short-term changes, but long-term changes, you have some mortality issues associated with that. And those are particularly important in terms of lower aquifer levels or longer residence times. In the aquifer, you could have higher temperatures and lower oxygen. That's helping inform them, the HCP and the EAA.
So you were also talking a little bit earlier about how you guys have been able to figure out which ones are the males and the females and the mating habits and all that sort of thing. How's that going?
Yeah. Well, you can't just ask them, you know. Yeah, and it's not like, you know, the boy ones are blue and the girl ones are pink. They all look the same. In fact, adult riffle beetles don't go through any kind of growth or molt. They basically, whenever they turn from a larvae into an adult, they're that size, period. And one of the big projects we're working on is just try to understand its life history. How many eggs does a female lay? How long do the eggs have to spend in the environment to develop? How many molts does a larvae go through? What are the key features in order for these larvae to pupate into adults? None of those questions had really been asked before. And that's pretty critical piece of the puzzle if we're going to be using this organism in the HCP. And so one of the things we had to do is if we were going to put males and females together, we had to be able to identify which of these individuals are males and which of these individuals are females. And so it was a pretty long process to basically taking a bunch of different measurements on a variety of different features on these riffle beetles, and it turned out a very small difference in the abdomen, basically how pointy your abdomen is a difference between a male and a female, and it looks like it's a pretty robust thing. So we can successfully now make male-female pairs, and they will reproduce in captivity, which is important.
And so, kind of in conclusion, how would you say the research is going, and why do you think this is important?
So in general, it's going really well, and it's been a lot of fun. It's been a whole lot of fun. The second thing I think is that it's been kind of challenging because we're dealing with a really small organism and trying to get enough of them, and then trying to ask these questions it takes a whole lot of detailed work, and it's a very laborious kind of process for myself and my graduate students and technicians and all my collaborators. I think it's important information because if we're going to be using this organism determine what we do here with the aquifer and the HCP process, if we're literally starting from ground zero, we don't have any information on it. So it's critically important that we get this information and provide it to the EAA so they can make better informed decisions. So,
great stuff. Appreciate the time. Thanks, Dr. Nella.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.